Episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast, the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. Yes, I am sick this week, and I'll try to get over it as usual. So, therefore, to continue, this week we have an interview episode with the with Don Ramirez and the Stinkoids. So, again, once again, this is their content, not ours. We're happy to present it to you in regards to exploring the Frederick Underground music scene. So, therefore, here's the interview, and take it away, Don.
Today is Sunday, March the 1st of 2020. I'm here with Kenny. How do you say your last name? Say your full name for me, Kenny.
Kenny Ball Stink.
Yeah, oh, I love that, because okay. When Brian Sefcik, he has a lot of fun with your last name. We're going to spend some time talking about Brian, too. And
Perry Free.
Okay. Perry, how old are you, real quick?
43.
Kenny, how old are you?
43 also.
43. All right. I thought the first thing we're going to do is we're going to beat up a little bit on the Stinkoids, right? So let's start with what shows you guys have coming up here in the immediate future, and then we're going to talk about how you guys got together.
All right. Well, what we got here coming up here is the first show is this one.
Saturday, March 14th.
They're calling it
here.
Metal Night. Is this the first Metal Night? Now, we're not really metal.
I kept thinking that, too, so I was telling them up front.
We're just going to go with it.
It's Metal Night with the punk flavor. One, you
know. Yeah, well, that's Saturday, March 14th, at from 6 to 10, you know, here at 410 W or West Race Street, Martinsburg. That's got Trigger 13, FYA, Half Heard Voices as well. So I don't know if the kids are playing or anything like that, if they got...
No, I don't think the students are part of this show.
Right, okay.
I'm doing another. So. I know we're doing one on May 2nd, and they're part of that one.
Right.
And what else you got? What other dates we got?
Well, we got What the Punk is at 611, Cafe 611 there on North Market Street in Frederick on Saturday, March 21st, 5 to 12:30. That's got Piece by Piece, Go on Red, TBD, Crash Car Monkeys, Sugar Hysteria, Offense doing a Misfits set. And Trigger 13 and us. Okay. And then we got Night of the Living Punks. That's Wednesday, March 25 at 8 to 12. And it's the Depot in Baltimore at 1728 North Charles Street in Baltimore. And that's got Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. No Action. And they're coming from California, I believe.
Wow. Cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, the touring band. And then our buddies, Eternal Carnage, my buddies. And that's a 21 and over show, though, so the other ones are...
And the one here in Martinsburg, I think, is 16 and up.
Okay, yeah, that's what that is.
16 is up.
And then we got one, I can't wait to get back, David's Outlook, there at 2228 East Chestnut Street in Hanover, PA. That's Saturday, April 18th from 7 to 11, and that's TBD again, and Bake Sale Hotties. And, you know, my buddies at in Virginia there, LNT... Mm-hmm. You know them, don't you? Like yeah. No Tomorrow. So, and then Who Me from PA. So I can't wait to see them guys again. And then we just got on this Bless the Woods Festival. I'm not really sure if we fit that one too well.
Yeah. Where's that one at? Yeah.
I started looking into some of these bands, and it's a lot of...
It sounds like a real hippie thing.
I'm into the reggae, though. Hey, you know, I'm into the reggae and stuff, so I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
You know?
I've always believed that
they wanted a punk band, so they're going to get one, so, you know.
We can make up a nice cover, you know.
Right? Hey, man, we're going to do our best, you know, to entertain the people who, you know, I hope they're ready for us.
Right.
We'll see what happens. But that's Saturday, June 20th at 1:15 is when we go on. But the festival actually goes from June 18th to 21st. Yeah, it's a whole weekend there.
Where is that one?
That's 8334 Ricard Road, Fairplay, Maryland. So, I have yet to see what that's about either. I know a buddy of mine is involved in that.
It's actually like across the Billy river Stanfield. From where I live, but like you got to go all the way down 81.
Right. Fair play. Yeah, that's not too far. Let me ask, before we get into how you guys got the Stinkoids together, tell you a little story with TBD. You've seen them?
Oh, yeah. I played with them when I was in the runs.
Good, they're a good band, you guys.
Great band.
Sarah and Brian recommended them for one of the dates we were doing at Sky Stage. So I'd reached out to them. I was able to get them on that bill. I tried to get them on one here, but they couldn't do it. Anyway, I had to bump them. Felt horrible, but I had to bump them. So then I get Sky Stage saying they want to put them on another date. So I reach out to them again, and they get bumped from that one too.
No! Oh, no!
And I had to be the bearer of bad news twice, you know, so fuck.
They're
so
really cool, though, and they understand all that. They've been, you know, Ray there has been in this doing this for quite a long time, and they all have, really. So they know, you know. I definitely
want to see them. All right, so let's get into how you guys got the Stinkoids together. Because the first time we met, which is just about a year ago, you were with the Runs.
Yes, sir.
So how the Stinkoids come into being?
Well, we knew
each other forever. You know what I mean? And we was even roommates.
I've been trying to get in a band with this guy for at least 10 years.
You guys haven't played together before.
No,
I got
no.
Other than drinking and playing in the living room, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
But maybe. We were both playing in separate bands. I played in a band called Project 834. We played at the Frederick School of Rock one day. One of the best shows I ever played. I love playing for kids.
Yeah.
Because they're actually into it. They're not at the bar ordering drinks and looking at
they dance.
Friends.
That's why we like to do the underage shows. I got to hold my tongue a little bit, but, you know.
And then, you know, both our bands kind of went their separate ways, and we were both looking to be in bands, and we both work on the same job sites, and I seen them. I was like, look, let's start a band. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm looking. You're looking. Let's do it.
And with Kenny, there's always this sense of humor. I mean, that's the thing. So that was a good fit for you, like that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely crack it up together, you know.
Yeah. Let's go back in both of your histories, okay? In your 40s, how old were you when you first get introduced to punk? How does this type of music, and who are some of those bands that you're first, like, you know, into? How old are you? I can't tell you the year, but
my father actually, I was probably five years old. My father.
Get the fuck out of here.
My
really?
Father. Oh, yeah, man. Well, my father was into punk rock. I got a story. So you remember Phantasmagoria back in the day?
Yes.
You know, D.C.? Yeah. So he went there. You know, he's a collector. He's just into music, man. He was in MC5, and he had some Stooges and stuff like that. So he's like, man, you know, so he went to the record store. He goes, all right. Give me whatever you got that nobody else is buying, nobody else wants to hear. And so they gave him the Damned and, the AC/DC and some other stuff, you know, probably the Ramones and, you know, stuff like that. Oh, well, you know, he fell in love with it. So then he just kind of warped me, you know.
At a young age,
put me in front of the stereo and just played a bunch of records. And have you seen my dad's record collection? I know he's been over to my house.
I've listened to parts. You know,
how old are you when you start wanting to play music and getting into bands? How old are you and your first experience on stage?
Oh, I guess it was probably high school when I finally, I think we were trying to get, you know, a band together in middle school and with my buddies in high school and all, or in middle school and all that. And then that kind of developed into, all right, we're going to start doing some stage, so, you know, and then, you know, the talent show at the high school, and then, kind of went from there, a couple bars probably and stuff like that. You know, the parties, I miss the house parties, to be honest, which is what is, we got to get back into that, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
But, pretty much, I'd have to say about 14, 15, something like that, yeah, probably, you know.
So you've been performing since you were a teen.
Oh, yeah.
So that being at the school rock is a good thing.
Well, I gave it up, though. I stopped being in a band because, you know, I had a bad habit. So I ended up pawning all my, instruments. And then, you know, I got kicked out of bands. And I was just kind of outrageous when I was a little bit younger. So from 20-something, I wasn't really I guess 22, 23. So I wasn't really in a band anymore. And then,
how old
then the
were
Runs
you
got together.
When you got, okay, how old were you when you get with the Runs?
What was that? 30.
5 years ago?
30-something, yeah. Yeah. So, something like that. That was like 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Perry, let's go with you. You live where now?
I live in Tomahawk out in Berkeley County. Back now, Valley Road, out in the country.
Born and raised out there?
No, sir.
Yeah, he took me this back. He took me this back road to get. Where are we going? Where's this guy taking me?
Wrong turn. You know,
it's like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you grew up over in Brunswick?
Yes, sir.
How old were you when you first start getting into music, and how does that become part of your life?
Well, I mean, I was pretty much from birth like him, but my father wasn't a punk rocker. He was a big Chet Atkins, like, country music guy. And my grandfather and father were, like, famous musicians, you know, locally over in Maryland.
Okay.
The Freeze. They used to own Michael Fretz guitar over in Frederick and stuff. Okay. That was my family. So I was pretty much raised with an instrument in my hand, you know what I mean?
So you've been playing since you were young as well.
Just old enough I can hold a guitar, you know, and I'm... And then, you know, of course, you know, I wasn't too much into Chet Atkins back then. I actually am now, but...
He is now.
I got to be 13 and 14, you know, that wasn't too hip, you know what I mean? This is the early 90s, you know?
Right, right.
And I'm, you know, I just...
And now it's hip to be square.
Right.
Just ask, was that Huey Lewis?
Huey Lewis, yeah.
And, you know, and I wasn't too much into the mainstream stuff, like Metallica and Nirvana at the time. I kind of... You're more into, like, I got into, like, back then I was more into, like, the hardcore scene in D.C. There's a lot of, like, straight edge stuff.
Yeah.
And I really went that direction, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day.
For me, I'll share with you guys, like, I grew up here in West Virginia, right? So, metal, Metallica, 85, and I thought, you know, they were intense, and they would talk about other bands, right? They liked punk. They talked about punk. And I read this interview, and they talked about the Cro-Mags. Talked about the Age of Quarrel. And I bought that, and I fucking loved it. And the first real show I saw was the original lineup of the Cro-Mags at the old 930 Club.
Nice.
Right.
This best friend of mine gets kicked.
Or K Street?
The one near the National Port.
The one with the big pole in the middle there.
Bar and a veil there. That was one of my first shows.
He's spitting out his teeth into his hands, right? Skinhead named Blue. This is about 88. And I knew it. That was it. I was done. I wanted it. You know, I wanted to be part of it.
I was into that stuff too, you know what I mean?
Fuck, man. And back then, the Cro-Mags did the whole Hare Krishna shit. I met
right.
They were.
That was big in the scene when I was like used to go to them DC shows.
I loved the DC shows.
We used to go to Safari Club all the time.
I remember Safari Club too. They used to do a lot of reggae.
Yeah,
Safari Club would
do
reggae shows.
Yeah, DC. They still dance there every once in a while. You know, you still go to a punk show, they'll still dance. That's why we like it too. You know,
right.
Perry, I want you to talk about some of your favorite influences, and I don't care. You can pick from any genre, you know, of music, just some of the ones that really talk to you.
Well, I'm a bass player, and I do the bass player thing. I kind of live and breathe the bass, So, you know, I'm into everybody from Les Claypool to, like, even, you know what I mean, John Entwistle, you know what I mean? Like, just bass stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
I got a lot of influences, like Iron Maiden, you know, any kind of bass-driven stuff, I just listen to it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, just, I kind of listen to everything. I'm one of them people, I can listen to everything from gangster rap to, like, you know...
Who's your favorite gangster rapper?
I don't even know off the top of my head. I like 90s rap. That's the stuff
me too.
I like.
Right.
The stuff that was...
He quotes Snoop Dogg all the time.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. 90s rap. That's definitely what I like. Snoop Dogg, you know, that kind of stuff.
Life for me kind of ends around 2000-ish.
Yeah,
you know, everything before that, I'm interested in. Everything after that.
I can't stand rap. It's awful. Always hated it.
You know, so I like Cliff Burton stuff. I like all that kind of stuff kind of talks to me. Anything that's got, like... a good out front bass player that kind of plays like the crazy like trills and leads. That's the kind of stuff I'm into.
Yeah, he was. Burton's exceptional bass player. Same question to you, Kenny. Who are some of your influences, some of your heroes?
You know, Iggy Pop, Alice Cooper, all the greats, you know, everything. I'd like all that. Judas Priest, too, and, you know, the cock rock there, everything. Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses.
It's hard for me to put a finger on it.
You know, everything, though. Anything from rock and roll, you know, Buddy Holly, to, you know, keep going down the line. Chuck Berry, of course, you know, all that stuff.
What do you try personally on stage? What do you try to bring to the stage? What are you doing to engage the audience? And you're incredibly engaging. Just a word.
You know, I'm really into fear, and I always like to. I've seen videos. I've seen fear, but they don't do what they used to do. So, you know, I'm trying to bring what they used to do back. You know, watch the videos of fear. That's kind of what I want to do. I want to be, you know, a little, you know, politically incorrect, but with some humor involved into it. You know, it's nothing serious. I'm just joking around, you know. But, you know, I'm probably going to piss some people off while I'm doing it, you know. It's, you know, if it does piss you off, then you got problems and you suck my dick.
Perry, what do you enjoy about being on stage? What is it that gets you to do it?
I just love playing the bass for people, man, and jumping around, screaming and yelling, that kind of thing. I like to go out on the stage and just... I don't know. It's just a rush for me to be out in front of people and play for people.
Yeah, we all just want to have a good time. And, you know, ask anybody, Jimmy too and Adam, you know, we just want to get out there.
So let's talk about the whole.
Make sure everybody else has a good time too.
The whole band lineup that'll be performing here on March 14th. Who am I missing? And let's talk about what they do in the band, their contribution, and who they are personally.
Well, Adam, Adam contributed to the music.
Full name there.
Adam Fitzgerald Bellman. And he has no stage name, I guess. But no, he's a really good guy, and he's always been around in the scene because
he's, right,
you know.
He's played in a lot of different bands.
He was in Cobra Clutch.
The Whiskey Shits.
That was a good one. a couple, but I can't remember anymore. Oh, Out of Spite.
Yeah.
And he was in a DD. He was in DD Allen and
Market
Street Sluts.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a GG Allen cover band or a tribute band.
Let him know that at Andy very much wanted them on the Sky Stage show last year, but for whatever reason, the DD Allen thing. But just put a buzz in his ear if there was something even here that we could work out. We'd like to, you know, look at doing
Well, we grabbed him up and stole him away from him, he's not allowed to play with them anymore.
Okay, I got you.
No,
we could even
kidding.
Do a double feature.
I'm sure they'll do that to him.
I stood in on guitar on one of their shows.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be me playing in that band now, I guess.
It'll probably just be us playing with the chick singer.
Have you ever seen the documentary Hated, G.G. Allen and the Murder
Squad? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I still own it on VHS.
I have a rejection letter from the New York Underground Film and Video Festival, 1995. I fucking framed that shit. It was the most beautiful fucking thing I ever got. My favorite rejection letter. I got a few of them, but it's Todd Phillips, man, and that's his film, and here he is doing the fucking Joker, you know? And to be able to see this, that, you know, this incredible filmmaker and this incredible career that comes very much from the underground. I think that's one of the challenges that we face is, you know, helping people to understand that it's all just art and culture. So talk about your art. What is your art when you guys are on stage?
To, you know, entertain the crowd any way possible and to get as drunk as humanly possible. And without throwing up on stage, because that's been done, you know.
But, yeah, DJ did that.
And I guess crapping on stage is that, you know, that's been done too now. So maybe both of them. If we can just do both of them at the same time, I guess that's what we're going
to
shoot for.
Try to add that little element of humor and stuff into everything, you know what I mean? That's with the band name and a couple of song titles and stuff.
Now, how many
Yeah, we're
songs?
Just a shitty rock and roll band, man. That's all. You know, if you like shitty rock and roll, you're going to love us, you know.
All the more reason to come. How many songs have you guys recorded at this point with the Stinkoids?
None. Well, you know, except for the phones and all that, and but we're getting ready to.
We kind of
any second now.
I think we had four shows booked before we had a set list for it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's what I told him.
It was our sixth practice,
I
think.
Playing with, they were like, you know, we've been playing in their garage for a year, and we didn't play no shows. And when we formed this thing, I was like, look, I want to play some fucking shows, you know?
Right,
I mean, that's
right,
what
right,
it's
right.
About.
Yeah,
that's the only
kind.
We just want to get out there and have fun.
Before we had, you know, so we do a bunch of covers together, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we do like Johnny Thunders covers, some New York Dolls. We play in front of some young people. They're just like, what the hell song is this? It was the New York Dolls, you know what I mean?
It's cool that you mentioned the Dolls, right? In the interview I do with, and we'll talk about, I want to talk about the scene that you guys are a part of, your history with the scene, but I want to talk about some of the older guys. We meet through Brian Sefcik and Eric Reichard, who's part of...
Well, I know him from the left.
So you go back that far.
Yeah, okay. I know Brian from the left, and Kevin too. And
good.
Know,
okay.
Jimmy, I don't really know him that well, but yeah, I smoked a joint with them after a show one time.
They do the Redneck 7-Eleven song, right?
My wife kind of introduced me because she's all into Facebook, and that was before I was into Facebook.
Yeah. Well, we're doing a special program about the left on June 27th. We're doing it through the School of Rock. Going to do it out at O'Connell's. We have the students picking out. They're going to learn the left song, so they would perform songs from the left.
Oh, really?
Then it's Kevin and that's the great. Driving Beats, Jimmy Swope, and Sourpuss, Brian Sefcik. So You've got all the major players. Jimmy opened our series last April at Area 31. But so you go all the way back to the left. Were you a fan of the Voodoo Love Gods?
I just recently found when they all put that show together. That's when I found out about them, and I am a fan now.
Yeah, oh yeah,
it was great. That, you know,
Andy, right? From the Voodoos, the drummer, my
driving
co-host.
Beats, that's where I know him from.
Beats, okay.
Yeah.
Gave me two black eyes in 1990. Yeah, he did. Me, him, and Jimmy Swope, right? Like, Andy and I are going to get in this fight. So we go to a playground in an elementary school, and Jimmy Swope watches Andy and I go at it. I finally get my ass kicked, and I'm holding Andy off of me, and I'm like, all right, I had enough. Help me find my glasses. And all I can really remember is fucking Jimmy Swope laughing, you know.
Me and this guy got in a tussle a couple of times.
Right? What was punk rock
war? Alcohol. Yeah,
sure. Right, alcohol. Right, that's funny. That's funny.
It happens.
All right, so how long have you been part of this scene? How long have you been going to local shows, regional shows? And what areas are really known or were known as good venues and good places to see shows? That you got both of you.
Oh,
guys,
when I
question.
Was a kid, you know who Doug Merson is. So
he
was running this joint called the Church. That was off of Market Street, right behind all the buildings.
I played there with my old band. Yeah, that place was awesome.
I mean, that's where we all went. You know what I mean? And I guess that was about the same age. You know, once you were starting bands, that's where you went. You know,
right.
I was 14 years old, something like that. And they had this little skate club there, right at the end of Market Street, like kind of heading towards Warman's Mill. And this guy had an indoor skate thing over there by Domino's Pizza and all that.
Yeah,
had
a half pipe.
Remember
walking,
that? Might have had a band played
the
there. That
was
pretty
awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I really liked that playing that place. And, you know, back then everybody played Bellis's. And it was, you know, 611 was called Coconut Alley.
Yeah.
And, you know, there
I
was.
Played I played a lot of places. I've been in a lot of bands like locally.
Old Town, I guess. I think it was always called Old Town. Alpenhof.
I can't remember the exact name of what they called it, but it's where Noma Art Gallery is, and it became Blue Elephant.
It used to be called the Attic.
The Attic.
I played there with my band, too.
I passed that space on to the dude that opened the Attic. Like, I had it. I shot my first student films there in 93. I lived in it. It was just like a primitive warehouse. I lived in the old, like, workers where they got dressed for work and shit. But yeah, that was a neat space.
Yeah, we played there with a band called Lawn Dart. It was like guys after this band called Aversion X, like, they one of their new bands, but they were, it was awesome. It was a good show.
That's cool.
Yeah, I liked all that stuff downtown, man, because they had the record stores. You know, remember all the record shops there, like Megaphone.
Megaphone. I had the art gallery turned into in the back zone. Of Megaphone.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, all that
me
stuff
and
was
Ed
great.
Me and Ed Ramsburg. Yeah,
Yeah, Brainstorm. What else?
Yeah, I loved Brainstorm.
Brainstorm.
That's in Walkersville now. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah, that's in downtown Walkersville, over by where Ray's used to be. Walkersville. That's where I grew up. Was in Walkersville. You know,
okay.
Discovery.
What about Rob Garza? Did you ever meet Rob, or do you know Rob?
No, I don't think so.
That's Thievery Corporation, right? He's the main dude behind Thievery Corporation.
Okay.
And he's from Walkersville, right? Latino guy. I met him at Frederick Community College. He was doing video production. He was one of the first guys I ever met that did electronica, you know what I'm saying, where he would record everything. Called it his record label was Thievery Corporation, and he called his act the Cool Juju Kick Crew. And he performed his first shows ever were at the space we're talking about that was the Attic. He goes on to D.C. He ends up getting involved with one of the guys from
I miss that place.
Minor Threat, and they're huge, you know.
Yeah. It's when you thought the floor was always going to cave in. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly how it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it.
Who are some of the national acts that you go out of your way to see now? Is there anyone?
Oh, you know what? Anytime the Dickies are playing, I will go out of my way to see them. There's nothing like a dick puppet on stage. You know what I mean?
So right.
The balls hanging down and shit. That's great. Anything really from Gwar. You know, anything cool.
Saw Gwar many times back in the day.
I saw X came a little while ago, a couple years ago. I got to see X. Mm-hmm. That was great.
I do the whole Hank Free thing every time he comes around. I like the up close shows. Like, I'm going to see Michael Graves that did them couple albums with the Misfits. Like, 2 weekends from now. Actually, it's the day after the show. It's a Sunday night. And he plays acoustic set where he's right up front and he does all the Misfits songs that he did and stuff.
That is
I'm
awesome. Kind of
just more into those kind of shows now.
Right.
I
that
like when
intimate
you get, like,
that
close atmosphere and stuff with the bands.
Agreed.
I hate arena shows, you know, but I'll go to them if it's the bands I like, you know what I mean? But
right.
I love to try to catch them little local bar shows and stuff. The best ones. You usually end up to get to meet the people, at least talk to them and stuff, you know what I mean?
Have you guys performed, either one of you guys, at Savage Mountain Punk Festival?
Oh, yeah. When I was in the runs, we played there.
Talk about that a little bit. What's the festival itself like? And tell me about the organizers, your impression of the whole event.
Jerry's a really great guy. They're lucky to have him down there in Frostburg. The man's a poet, too.
Yeah.
And he's in a band called The Downstrokes that I really just like an old school rock and roll kind of, you know.
They're performing. We're doing them on May 16th. And because of the festival and everything that you're saying.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Yeah, the festival itself, yeah. I mean, that guy really likes to feed the bands there. You know, there's always, like, a ton of food.
He's trying
to shove down your throat, you know
what
I mean?
Do you camp out? Is it a camping experience?
No, I mean...
It's one like a one-day event, or...
Yeah, the thing itself... Well, no, the whole thing was the Savage Mountain Festival itself is a three-day event. I think they're trying to turn it into a four-day and five-day, like even going to Thursday and all that.
Man, don't eat brown acid.
So, yeah, I mean, but it's really cool. Like, it's definitely... you get a sense of community down there, and, you know, people like to help each other out and stuff like that, and... It's a real support system for each band and all, you know, and the people down there that go to the shows, too.
It was an intense experience for me to go all the way to Cumberland to see a show like that, right?
But it's a gorgeous drive, though, isn't it?
A beautiful drive, and that venue was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
Roundhouse. Red House?
Oh, the Red House Soundstage.
Oh,
yeah, I played there, too. Yeah,
that's how we met. Yeah,
that place is real cool.
Yeah, I thought it, and to see punk... And underground music, that vibrant and having that much participation so far away from like D.C. or Baltimore,
right. That
was intense. To see that this thing has become much more than what it was when we were younger, much more culturally,
right.
You know, it's everywhere.
Right, it's everywhere.
It's getting a little more accepted.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the fear of kids just out having fun isn't, you know,
right,
what it used to be back in the day.
We used to it's get beat like on in high school for looking the way we did.
It's not like you're in Footloose anymore.
Going to school where I did in the country.
I think the strangest experience about coming to these shows is just how multi-generational they are now. You know, like the last show they did, which was a punk show, there's little kids there. I mean, little kids.
Tiny kids, yeah.
All
yeah.
the way up, you know.
The
and
people.
When I went to shows like the Cro-Mags at night, it was all degenerate young people, you know. I don't remember seeing any adults, you know. So all of a sudden to see this, I'm like, okay, so that's changed in 30 years.
Well, now it's our generation that's up there. We want to see the shows, and, you know, we want to influence the kids, too. So,
and, like, know. Working with the Exiles, right, getting to know all of those guys.
Oh, they're great. I love them, man.
And their dad.
That's inspirational. That's yeah. one of the reasons why I'm personally am out here, you know.
Yeah, I think they're incredible live. We got John Boland's band, Suspect Devices, playing with the Downstrokes. And we have Adam Strausner from the Helgramites.
Hell yeah.
He's doing a bluegrass thing called the Missing Links.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that kind of stuff. I want to check that out.
This guy. I tell you, he lives right over there.
It's over that way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Banjos and stuff.
Oh, that's funny. All right, one of the things we talk about, too, is, and I make sure I do this with all the bands, and everyone has a different perspective on it, but we talk about drugs. So I want to go with Perry.
Well, let me get a beer for that one.
Perry, with you, let's talk about, you know, whatever you want to say on the subject. Some people are into straight edge. Other people talk about former addictions, whatever you want to share. Yeah.
He don't know this. What's he getting himself into? I don't even drink anymore because my liver's crushed and I'm only 43.
Yeah,
That's why I don't drink anymore.
That's how much he used to drink. He can't drink no more.
Yeah, it's like that. I used to be world famous drunk.
I got to double it up, you know, because of this.
Yeah, now I got AC&T coffee.
Now, the great thing about being in this guy is I always got a DD, you know, every time to the show. So that's pretty cool.
Keep going. But yeah, now I'm the designated driver, you know what I mean? Because I don't drink, and it's actually pretty cool. I get to be everybody's babysitter, and
There is that.
But, you know, drinking was always a big part of the scene when I was a kid. You know, you'd be hanging out behind the club, getting your drinks in and stuff. And where I grew up, you know, a lot of the shows
were talking about parking lot beer.
Yeah, parking lot beer. A lot of the shows I went to as a kid were all field parties, that kind of stuff, out by Brunswick.
Yeah, I miss
oh, there's too. Yeah, me
we
too.
We did the shows
loved,
at the
yeah.
the Brad I
always had a hippie
in the
vibe.
You'd probably get arrested doing stuff like that. Back in the day, I used to be able to run.
Right.
Okay,
they catch me now,
Perry. Besides alcohol, what and now you don't drink. What about any other recreational drugs? Psychedelics?
if
you mean honest right now?
No.
Are you looking right now? I'll call a motherfucker up. Let's do this.
Right. Back when they used to make good acid, you know. Don't know more. I used to like acid a lot. I really did. I used to chop that stuff down.
I enjoyed it as well. What about have you had any struggles with any of the opiates or anything like that?
I grew up in Maryland. Let's just put it that way.
Did he tell you he's from Brunswick?
Brunswick,
right?
I think the line, Baltimore. When I was a kid, it was
Hills, Whores, and Liquor Stores.
Yeah.
Now it's heroin antique stores and bitches with AIDS.
There is the one liquor store, I think, still there.
Yeah.
What about you, Kenny? What struggles have you been through? Like, you know, what's your...
You know, Don, when I remember waking up one day and I had $7,000 in the account and then I didn't have it anymore.
Crack sucks.
And I thought, oh, shit. Well, I can't, you know, I probably need to do something with myself. And so I straightened myself up. Really, I knocked my wife up, you know, before she was my wife, and I, you know, I knocked this girl up, and then I said, oh, shit, all right.
Yeah.
I guess it's time to cut it short, and so that's what I do. I still drink, though, and party, but, you know, I don't drink and drive or do anything stupid like that, and, you know.
Oh yeah, I do.
I gave
know.
Up all the hard stuff, but you know, if I there wasn't know. A drug on the table that I wouldn't do, you know, I guess the right. kids call it. Well, they got all kinds of stuff now. I haven't tried. I'm a little curious. I got to be honest with you, but the explanation sounds like it. Oh, they're just mixing some shit together.
Yeah, I was telling him that the worst one they have around here, they call it boot, right? And it's a new street drug. I'm being told that it's a little more like a dirty meth kind of thing. But the physical effect that it has, you, like the moving their jaw, strange movements. I mean, it gets so bad.
Oh, I've seen the videos, yeah.
In Martinsburg, it gets so bad, it looks like an episode of The Walking Dead. And really, the panhandle... On the average,
it looks like they're mixing meth with some, a little bit of E, and then,
I don't even know if there's E
coke in there, a little bit of heroin.
Me myself nowadays, I'm into beta blockers and cholesterol
right. yeah,
medicine.
Yeah. The hell,
a little bit of clonopin at night. You know what I mean?
Some antacids.
Right, omeprazole. Yeah. Those are the kind of drugs I'm into now. I'm old age.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
An allergy, man. I got more allergies now than I used to have when I was a kid.
Who are some of the local bands who are out there performing that you guys really respect and you enjoy playing bills with and seeing live?
Well, you'd mentioned TBD. That band right there, they blow me away every time I see them. I really love Who Me Too.
Who Me Too.
Pennsylvania's got this little scene out there, man.
Where's it centered at?
Hanover, right?
It's all over. It's kind of fucking all over, man. There's like York. There's a lot of stuff out in New York, or Harrisburg, anything really, like just even bands out in Greensboro and stuff like that. I mean, it's just kind of all over Waynesboro, and, you know, it's kind of spread out all over the place.
Pennsylvania all looks
definitely the same. Philly and anything like that. Pittsburgh, they got some bands out there.
How often do you go up to Philly or Pittsburgh?
Never. Hey, not yet, man. We're gonna expand here shortly and get.
We did Harrisburg. Harrisburg was ours.
There was Harrisburg, and did we do York yet?
No, we didn't do York yet.
I went to Pittsburgh once. I loved it. I had a film that screened there, 2008. Oh, it was a really neat city. Perry, who are some of the local acts that you really enjoy seeing?
I like the Kids Band. I like the Exiles a lot. Those guys. We played with them in my old band. You know what I mean? It gives hope that, you know, this isn't going to die with our generation.
Right.
You know, it gives me hope that there's still cool kids out there and stuff. And I don't know. I'm seriously, when I go out to see shows, I go out and see country bands and stuff out a lot.
You know, my buddy Sourpuss, too, and Driving Beats.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Anytime I see them guys, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Sourpuss is always a blast live. I know they're playing April 11th.
Voodoo, of course.
Yeah. And the Voodoos, yeah. Did you see the Shepherdstown show we did in November? Were you?
No, that West Virginia there.
Yeah, we did one. That one was. I did the fucking light show for them, and they closed, and it was just fucking fluke. But they closed with a song called Charlie's Children, and the light show was just fucking perfect. So we want to do a couple more Voodoo Love God shows, but I want the opportunity to develop that fucking light show.
Get us on them Voodoo Love God shows, man. I'd love to play a show with them, man.
Absolutely. Those guys, we're working on those. Those are like fall, September and November, some dates. So I'll definitely keep you guys in mind for that. Chris, you have any questions?
What do you have to say to the? I know you guys enjoy the Exiles, you know, what they do and the energy that they have to bring to the community, the rock community, the punk rock community. What do you have to say to those that might have issues or kind of on the fence saying, I don't know if I should get into either metal or punk or that aspect?
I wouldn't worry about any of the issues that, you know, you think people are worried about. And, you know, the object of being in a band, any kind of band anyway, is just you want to have a good time. You want to have fun. You want to be in a band with people you like to hang out with, for the most part. And then, it's just a good idea anyway, just to be in any kind of band and to get out there. And, if you're just nervous because you got stage fright or something like that, Just remember, you know, these people ain't going to help you out, you know.
Yeah.
They're not there to, you know, pay your taxes and pay you, you know, your way of life.
And the punk rock scene, I mean, even
since... I mean, the hell with them, you know what I mean?
Even...
It's just, you're there for you to have a good time.
You know, accepting of people, you know what I mean? That's... It doesn't matter what color you are, what, you know, what religion you are, where you come from, how much money you have. You know, you come, you get good into like the punk rock scene. You know, those people become your brothers. You know what I mean? Still to this day,
yeah, it's a sense of community. You know, get out there and just do it. You know, and
most people find a family in the scene.
I mean, don't listen to people. Don't listen to the people that want to. You know, they're down on your kind of style of music or something like that, or maybe they don't like your lyrics.
To now, Ricky Martin, anyway.
I mean, you know. You just get out there and, you know, if you're calling yourself a punk rock band and somebody says, well, that's not punk rock, you know, what the fuck do they know about punk rock, you know? It's what, you know, what you like, what you think punk rock is and what you think metal is. And that's all it's really about is, you know, you and yourself have a good time and get yourself, you know, out there and just do it.
So has being in a band or been, I'm sure Don's probably covered this, a whole hell of a lot, and he's doing a fine job documenting the Frederick Underground. Has, over the years, has there been a lot more ups than downs, or has there been kind of steady between the two?
I tell you, all the way up for me, man. I don't care if I'm in a rat hole, you know, where there's one person there. I'm having a good time, you know. You know, you can be in a big whatever. Even if I'm in a stadium or something like that, yeah, and it's packed. It's going to be the same for me because I'm just there, you know, like I said, just to have a good time. I want to meet people, hang out, and party.
That's about it for me. I've got a couple more. Yeah.
What's the farthest you've traveled to perform a show?
Frostburg.
Yeah. I had to get a fucking motel room.
Yeah, good God, man. It feels like a 3-hour drive or something. What, four? Yeah, something like that.
Our drummer, Jimmy Flame, that plays with us, he had his little music thing going on in Seattle back in
the 90s,
early 2000s. And
he took a bus.
I kind of took off and went out there and played music for a while. So I guess you could say that's the furthest I've went to play a show.
How long did you live in Seattle?
About a year and a half.
How was that? That just seems like it would be an awesome experience.
It was awesome. We played so much that we didn't even practice because we played shows 3 days a week. You know what I mean? The music scene was popping out there, you know. It was something to be said about it.
Nothing like locally. What do you think of locally? Where are the really good, exciting venues? Where do you guys where do you pull an audience here?
See,
I'm hoping 611 as far as Frederick goes coming up, and then for here, I'm hoping this place.
Yeah, that's why we're doing this.
Well, they used to have Guido's over in Frederick, where, you know, that's pretty much our family place. And the people we all grew up with. You know, we packed that little place, but that place shut down. You know what I mean? Now it isn't there. That was a good place for local music. They'd give anybody a slot and anybody a chance.
Andy just said it was a small space, and I remember. I hung out at Guido's when Blue Elephant first opened, which is like 98, 99, and it was just like a casual bar. And when I left Frederick in 2003 and go back for this series, and going in there, like, I was like, fuck, this is like the old 930 club. That's what it felt like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly. And there's a pole right in the middle of everything.
Right. Oh, it's a small venue. What's 611 like?
611.
They do rap concerts every other weekend. It's something else.
Yeah, there is that. It's kind of open, a little more open, but, you know, it's all right. You know,
they do like old school national acts. I like the place there. A lot. I've seen Biohazard there, Cro-Mag there. They do the.
Yeah,
you know,
they've had
agnostic stuff. I remember when that Cro-Mag show was. And Cro-Mag's played here at the Shiley Acres. They go by. Cro-Mags, they and the initials now JM or something like that. This professor friend of mine sent me an article a few years ago about Harley Flanagan storming the stage of a Cro-Mag show and taking a knife and slashing the new bass player like on stage.
Oh my God!
They're all suing and there's a bunch of fighting going on.
over ownership of the music and all that kind of shit.
I saw something on Facebook or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
And I think he had become like a heroin addict or I don't know much, but I loved Harley. I met him a couple of times. I consider myself a fan, and I definitely was attracted to the straight edge then. So to hear how things have gone, you know, and to see any band fight over money like that always kind of fucks with me, if that makes sense, you know.
Kind of like the Misfits with the Lame. Walmart shirt sales.
Yeah. If you guys are about good, we can wrap and go upstairs and get some good pictures.
Yeah, I'd like to check. So the stage is upstairs.
Yeah, we're going to go check it out. Thank you guys for being part of the show. Chris, thanks.
Thank you guys for having us.
Saturday, March 14th, 410 Ray Street. Come out and check out the Stinkoids and the rest of the show, you guys.
And special thanks to the School of Rock, School, for
Nick Lemmy and Donald Burkholder
for letting us record here and all that. So.
And thanks for letting us play.
Dude, let me say, this to me is the most exciting thing that's happened in Martinsburg in the 10 years I've lived here.
Is this place right here?
It's to have a live music venue.
Just to have a rock and roll school, just to...
Yeah.
To, think about that when I was a kid, to fathom that, that was never even an option. Now they're building skate parks.
And right, all the stuff I wished for when I was a kid.
What is going on here?
Right, I used to have to go in back alleys and this and that to do my stuff. Now they just build the shit out for everybody, Skate parks. I used to get arrested for skateboarding, They got skate parks, Now they got
rock and roll was
blessed, thankful.
Was the devil.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah,
now
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not the devil anymore, people. It's
fairly
it's
mainstream getting a little culture. Bit more
accepted. I remember getting kicked out of Sunday school because I came to Sunday school with a Guar shirt on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Doc.
No, absolutely. Chris, thank you.
No problem.
All right, gentlemen.
All right.
Give us a few minutes to cut everything off.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this interview episode with the Stinkoids. And I'm sorry that a lot of times the guests that are on get real too close to the microphone, and we cannot help that. We try to predict if and when they do such a thing, and sometimes it's hard to predict, so I apologize for that. So, that being said, let me just put the usual rhetoric at the end of this episode, and that being, one, if you wish to join in the conversation, you're more than happy to do so by sending us email at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or leaving a comment on our pinned post at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. So you're more than happy to leave a comment there. Or if you're listening to this episode on YouTube, you're more than happy to leave a comment on the episode. So yes, we understand that we haven't putting up a lot of videos as of actual videos. So, we just want to let you know that we will be doing so soon. So, there's that. In regards to YouTube, you have to do a search for the Long Coat Mafia podcast. So, also, to continue, if you wish to leave us a comment or anything like that on Instagram or Twitter, you're more than welcome to do so by DMing us on Instagram, which is Long Coat Mafia, or sending us a DM on Twitter. Also, our screen name there is Long Coat Mafia. So you're more than welcome to do that. Let's see. We do have two streaming sites, one of which is Twitch, and that being twitch.tv, the Long Coat Mafia pod. And the other one is Mixer, which is mixer.com/LCMP. So, if anything, just go to our main website and click on all our links are there. So, you could be more than happy to explore those links there. Our website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. So, there's that. Speaking of our website, if you're on a desktop or laptop computer, you could get our episodes on our main website going all the way back to the beginning, which is Long Coat Mafia at thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. You could download all our episodes, again, going back to the beginning. stream all our episodes going back to the beginning. And if you choose to download them, you are more than happy to play them on your player of choice, whatever that might be. We are also available on Stitcher, Spotify, what else? Stitcher and Spotify and YouTube. So you're more than happy to go there, and iTunes. So, and we do recommend you bookmarking our website, because just in case iTunes or Spotify decides to be picky and not pick up the episode, yeah, you'll be able to get the episodes that way. If you're on a mobile device, you're able to get us through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and also the Podbean app. I think with the Podbean app, you're able to go all the way back to the beginning as well. So I recommend having the Podbean app just in case iTunes and Google decide to be funky with you. So there's that. Let's see what else. That seems to be about it. So take care. We'll see you hopefully next week. So bye-bye. We are out.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.